We're going to be talking this morning about our voices, or our tongues, and kind of how we use what we say to bless or others, or encourage others, or to curse others. I'm not going to be cursing today, but we're going to talk about how our voices are used for both of these things. James chapter 3. All right. Let's pray. Lord, you have said in your word that there's a tremendous power in words. So often, Jesus, I have heard my own mouth say things that I instantly wish I could recall, but the words are gone from me like arrows that penetrate the hearts of others. Help me to remember to think before I speak, to give words that heal and not destroy, and to help me speak words of encouragement and affirmation and hope to those that I'm in contact with. For we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, there we go. I want to tell you a story. That's a funny picture. I want to tell you a story that I ran across about, how we use our voices and how we tame our tongues. There's this guy who was in this village, and he was like one of the worst guys ever. I mean, he would talk about people behind their back, and he would say, spread gossip and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, he was just a really horrible person. Lies, cheats, steals, did everything horribly. And he decided one year, it was New Year's Day, and he's like, you know what? I've got to change my life. I've got to do something different in my life. And so he went to this rabbi, and he went to the rabbi, and he said, listen, I really want to change my life. I want to change all of these things that are going on in me. I mean, I talk bad about other people, I gossip, I talk about them behind their backs, and even people who I hardly even know, I mean, I'm talking about them, horrible things. And the rabbi kind of thought about it for a second. He says, okay, listen, I can help you out, I can serve you, I can do this, but you have to promise me something. First of all, that you're going to do exactly what I say, and second, you can't ask any questions. I was like, okay, I think I can make that happen. And so the rabbi says, listen, I need you to go into town, and I need you to get me a chicken. Now, of course, I mean, what is the rabbi going to do with the chicken? The guy was thinking in his head. He's like, okay, I said I would not ask any questions, so he took off into town. And he started, and he goes, wait a second, before you get out the door here, you have to do something. On your way back, you have to pluck the chicken of all the feathers. So go get a chicken, run back as fast as you can, rip off all the feathers before you even get back to my door. Okay, so the guy takes off, he buys the best chicken in the town, he starts running back, and he's just pulling off feathers. I mean, feathers are flying everywhere. He finally gets back into town, into the rabbi's house, and the rabbi looks at the chicken, and it's fine, and it's all clean and ready to go, and the guy says, why did you need me to do all this? He said, well, listen, I told you I was going to help you out, so what I need you to do is I need you to go back and I need you to pick up all the feathers. But Rabbi, how could I do such a thing like that? I mean, I was running really fast and the wind's probably blowing it all over the place and there's no way that I can pick up all these feathers. And the rabbi said, you know what? That's exactly what happens when you gossip. It's exactly what happens when you lie. It's exactly what happens when you talk about other people behind their back. There's no way that you can rein those things back in. There's no way that you can gather all those back up again. What is said, and it'll go to the very ends of the earth, the kind of person that you are. Today we're going to be talking about the words that we say and why we need to be very careful of those words. Friends, we've certainly gathered together this morning because we believe of what God has done on the cross through Christ. The cross of Christ is filled with a hope and a joy and a life. I mean, it's the same hope and joy and life that filled our brother James so long ago. And many of you realize that James is we're thinking about James as a half-brother of Jesus. And I kind of wonder, and I've been wondering this week about, James, if James is a half-brother of Jesus and he had a perfect older brother. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, some of you think that maybe your older siblings were perfect. You know, can you imagine Jesus being your older brother? And can you... I know, right? Here we go. Prime example right here. No. So Jesus, this perfect older brother. And now you can imagine that James probably said some bad things about Jesus behind his back, right? You probably think that James probably went to his mom and said, you know what? Jesus is back there messing around back there. And Mary's like, no, listen. I know the true story here. So I can imagine what James was feeling. But I also wonder what James was thinking when Jesus was on the cross. Or James was thinking when he saw the resurrected Lord right in front of him. I kind of wonder what James was thinking when he was asked and called to be a leader of a church, to be a pastor, and he wrote this letter to mostly Jewish believers, and he writes to them as this pastor would write to their flock, and he teaches them about the importance of words and how to make sure that the words that you say kind of match the internal feelings that you have about God. And he wrote this letter, and James knew the power of words. He knew that there were people in his congregation, these Christians that he was writing to, had been deeply affected by these harmful words of people. He knew that there was power with words, that words of hope and healing could certainly come, but words of venom and attacking would come as well. And so James speaks out as a pastor to his flock. Words have a powerful creative weight on us, don't they? They bring inspiration, or they bring doubt, or they bring hope, or they bring fear, or they bring comfort, or they bring emotional pain. And the closer that relationship that we have with other people, you know, those words have an added weight to them. So in the close relationship, if they're words of affirmation, they feel extra special. If they're words of hatred, then they feel extra devastating. As kids, we learn about this phrase, right? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Right, you all know that. But see, that's simply just not true. Words hurt us. Words affect us. But words can also heal us. Can you remember those words that went like arrows into your soul, cutting you down and making you feel worthless? You're so weird. You're such a geek. You stink. Like, literally, you smell bad. You're ugly. Goodness, you're the ugliest person I've seen. Those things that dig deep into our souls. Or perhaps you can remember those words that felt like raindrops in the soul, that nourished you and encouraged you and made you feel absolutely wonderful. You're beautiful. You're just so amazing. I cannot believe the gifts that God has blessed you with. It's such an honor to be able to walk with you and see those gifts being lived out. In our relationships, we have the opportunity to either build each other up or tear each other down. And the words that we speak and the words that we use can advance the presence of God in our relationship as we hear it. And with our words, James says, we can offer blessings and we can offer curses. But where do our words come from? And why do these hurtful words kind of bubble to the surface? Well, Jesus says that our words come from our innermost beings. In Matthew 15, it says, on one of the first Sundays that I was serving as a youth pastor at the Happy Corner Church of the Brethren, that is like the coolest name for the church, right? Happy Corner Church of the Brethren. Pastor John, and God bless his soul, he's passed away now, he shared this message similar to this about how the words that we speak is a direct reflection of the hearts that we have with God. And he said this. He said, out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if we are gossiping, lying, talking bad about others, what does that say about our hearts? If we are constantly talking bad about others, if we are constantly putting others down, what does that say about our relationship with God? We don't have one. Yeah. Our parents tell us this thing that if it's important to think before we speak. In our culture, somehow we think that as soon as something pops into our head, we are obligated to speak it. That is not a godly philosophy. Not all things should be said. Honey, do I look good in this dress? No, you don't. Things you don't say. Things you don't say. What our parents told us is true. It's important to think before we speak. We need to consider what we're saying, if it will build other people up or if it will tear it down. We need to think if what we're saying will actually heal a relationship or hurt a relationship. Will it strengthen us or will it weaken it? Sometimes it's just best to be quiet, you know, especially if we're angry, so that we can speak the truth and love. We're never to stifle the truth, right? It's never loving to withhold the truth from people, but we must learn to convey the truth that confront the issue without attacking the person, to share words of love and hope and affirmation. And so this morning, I want us to look at a couple of things that James says that our voice does, and specifically he uses the tongue, that our tongue does that really affect those around us. The first thing we need to do is recognize that there is great potential in sinning in what we say. And this is why he took this so seriously. In James 3:2, look at this. It says, "For we," and again, James is including himself in this. He's not saying, "For you all are doing horrible." He says, "For we stumble in many ways. And if one does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man and is able to also bridle his whole body." Now, if your speech is perfect, then you are a perfect person, James says. Now, we know that none of us is perfect in our speech, right? In fact, we know that all of us have been born into a fallen world and have been affected by sin, and that we're born into this kind of sin nature of who we are. In Romans 3, Paul says about the tongue of a fallen and sinful man has the potential for great sin. In fact, in Romans 3:13, he says that the throat is like an open grave. And that smells. I mean, that's worse than a man or a woman who did not brush their teeth that morning, right? I mean, that is a nasty, wretched smell. He basically is saying it's like a dead body. Your voice, your tongue, your mouth, everything that comes out of our mouths is like a dead body. That's horrible. It says that they use their tongues to deceive, to trick, to persuade falsely, to lead people astray, it says. He said, it's the venom of asps under their lip. Now, an asp is a snake. And so Paul says there's venom underneath of their lips. Paul says their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. This idea of that our mouth is really not the most sanitary place in the world. That these are really horrible things that can come out of our mouth. It's not a pretty picture. In fact, if anybody can bridle that, if anybody can bridle their tongue, he says, they would be a perfect person. Some interpreters look at this word perfect, and it actually means like to complete. And surely that's true. As we grow as Christians and we conform to the image of Christ, that concept of sanctification actually completes in the full effect. And as we learn and as we walk in the Spirit, we learn to have self-control. And as we control our tongues, our whole body is controlled. And because my tongue, friend, is probably the most difficult muscle in the body to control, isn't it? Now, don't do it right now. Don't look at one another. But if you go home and look in the mirror, and like stick out your tongue like that, you'll realize that you can't stop it from moving. The tongue is always moving. You cannot force it to stop. This concept that we cannot stop ourselves from sinning. We cannot stop ourselves from doing bad all of the time. But the fact is that God can help us, and God walks with us in the midst of it. We don't have to move our bodies in order to sin. We can just move our tongue in order to sin. The second thing I want us to recognize is not only is there a great opportunity to sin, but there's great power in the tongue as well. There are limitations for what we can do in our activities to sin, but there aren't many limits on our tongue when we sin as well. James 3 says this. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well, right? It says the power for harm is there, that certain words should never be spoken, words that diminish each other, and words that threaten. Threatened relationships should be banished from our vocabulary. We need encouragement. We all need forgiveness and restoration when we have spoken harsh words to one another. It's difficult, friends, to go through life without telling a lie, or difficult to go through life without continuing gossip or making fun of others. Even me. I mean, I do this from time to time. Specifically, one time in high school, I was the outcast, right? And I was always picked on by the upperclassmen. I was a freshman, and I was just kind of a geek, you know, when I was younger. I liked weird things and stuff like that. I had like this diorama of the Battle of the Bulge that I put together in my basement. That's the kind of crazy stuff that I was doing. So I was kind of this geek when I was in a freshman. When I became a sophomore, things changed a little bit. See, I got a job, and so I could kind of buy myself some nicer clothes, and I was a starter on our varsity soccer team, and so I started playing soccer, and I started hanging around more popular people then, and so I started to feel a little bit cooler. Well, I never got to this point of like being super popular. I was kind of like the second string popular guys, you know, they had the really cool guys, and then you had me, and then you had some other people. Now, the idea of all of this is that, you know, we would be doing some horrible things. We would talk bad to people. We would laugh at them. We would call them names. In fact, many of our friends, we would pick on people that just looked different or acted different. We would put like fish in people's car and wrap it with saran wrap. We would do like spray paint people's tires and permanent marker on their lockers so that they couldn't. Don't take any notes here. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said all those things. My bad, parents. But I used to do things that were just absolutely horrible. And you're probably thinking, how in the world could our pastor be doing all of these things? Well, let me tell you something else. I considered myself a Christian. Now, I actually started a Bible study at our school before school. I went to an Assembly of God youth group and my own church youth group. I went to two youth groups every single week. And I sang and I danced and I prayed and I did all those things. And everybody who knew me outside of school would think that Brian is a stand-up, nice man. And I played that part. I was a Christian to many people, but to those in my high school that I tormented, I was a jerk. I really was. We first use our tongues to praise God, and then we curse the things that God has created. While so many times we find ourselves worried about correcting others, we forget that our tongues might do more harm than good. Look, with my friends at school, the torment that I had stood upon them, I soon began to realize that my words of pain that I shared over and over and over again to these guys really needed to be replaced with words of hope and words of joy and words of love. It came very real to me in one year. It was my senior year. I went on a winter retreat with my youth group from the Assembly of God church one year, and I left with this notion that we was going to go have fun, we were going to go pick up some girls, we were going to have a great time. It was a retreat. It was out. It wasn't like at a campground. It was like at a conference center, the worst place to have youth retreats, okay? So we kind of had our own rooms. It was kind of fun. We were all over the place, and I was going out with my friends, and when I was younger, I got baptized at 13. We call it in the Church of the Brethren, the seventh grade harvesting. And so everybody who's in that grade usually goes through some kind of baptism class or something like that. We don't do that anymore here, thank goodness. But that's what we used to do. And I was going along for the ride when I got baptized. I really didn't know what it meant, and I really didn't see any major effect on myself. But I was sitting at the Valley Forge Conference Center, you know, the one that has like the little circle thing that you can see from the highway. That's where it was. And I was listening to a concert by Carmen, right? Bring you back. I was listening to a concert by Carmen, and Carmen was like, you know, this very eclectic singer. I mean, he sang all kinds of weird songs. Look him up. You'll enjoy your afternoon. And so he sang all these songs, and he would do conferences for various kids, you know, youth groups and stuff like that. And I was sitting there when I saw something that I didn't want to see, one of the people that I was tormenting at school. And actually, it's the person who, he was in a drama club. And he went into drama one night, and all of my friends, we crumpled up pieces of paper and little balls and filled his car with them. It's absolutely horrible, right? And so he was standing there, and I was singing, and I was clapping, I was chewing gum at the same time, I was feeling proud of myself, and I looked over at him, and there he was. And it was this clash of two worlds, right? My fun, you know, pick on everybody world, and my I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus world. It's kind of that moment where, like, when your mom comes to school and she brings you your gym clothes, you know, your class of your home and your school, or when a youth pastor goes and sits down with you at lunch at school, or when you go to a party and your mom and dad show up at that party that they didn't think that you were going to be at. Those are really struggle times, but that's where it was. And nonetheless, there was Brent Wheeler, and he was looking at me. And it was this clash of worlds. And he looked at me, and then he looked at the stage, and he looked over at me again, and he kind of looked back. And I always kind of wonder, what in the world was Brent thinking? And I'm sure he was thinking something like, am I at the wrong concert? Because Brian's here. I must be someplace that I don't need to be. Or was he thinking, is Brian really a Christian? Is he really here to hear about Jesus? And at that point, I felt so guilty about having picked on this kid, right? I mean, I let myself down. I let my youth group down. I let my parents down. I let him down. I let everybody down. I let God down, right? My words of hatred about him behind his back felt like heavy burdens on my shoulders at that time. And I asked God for forgiveness. And guess what? I did actually go back and I asked forgiveness from Brent as well. And they both forgave me. Things were much better at school. Actually, my friends thought I had kind of chickened out on some of their exploits that they wanted to do. But in reality, I was stopping my tongue from doing more damage, listening to what God really wanted me to do. Our words have tremendous power. Our voices have tremendous power. And in so many ways do our tongues find trouble through words that hurt others, through gossip, and in turns our actions towards other people. However, friends, our tongue can also bring words of hope and of love, to pray for others, to have fellowship with others, to give each other kind words of encouragement and affirmation. The words that we use should be words of healing, not destroying. The spoken word is so delicate and important to relationship that if more damaging words than more healing words are shared, then there's a better chance to break the relationship. And I have seen so many relationships where it seems like it's a great relationship and it's so affirming to have one sentence ruin it all. But if those words are of a healing nature, right, the relationship will grow into one that God will use, that God will bless, and that God wants to see. So this week, I want you to do something with me. Whenever you hear a harsh word spoken, or you hear gossip being spread, or that you have an action unbecoming, I want you to do your best to say something positive right in that moment, right? Something uplifting. And watch the mood of those who you're speaking to lift, and perhaps they will recognize the power of a healing word. I want you to look at James 3:7 with me. And this brings us to our next point, that we need to recognize our inability to tame our tongue. James says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind." I mean, that's funny, right? I mean, so often our dogs can be tamer than we are, right? We can train our animals to do such cool things, but we can't train our tongue to not say the things that we shouldn't be saying. James 3:8 says, "No human being can tame their tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people that are made into the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." Unfortunately, we cannot control our tongue. We struggle with containing our words. We struggle with not saying bad things. However, the blessing of this is that we need to have a further dependence on God and a surrender to Him. Jesus and the Holy Spirit to guide our voice, to guide our words. Thus, in fact, our tongue is led by our ability to discern God's voice in our lives. Our voice is dependent on how much we surrender to God and allow His words to become our words. Our actions, our words, everything that we are is a direct reflection of our connection with our Lord Jesus. Everything. As we wrap up this morning, I was thinking, how do you end something like this? I just tell everybody, you know, your tongues are like graves. I mean, that's great. That's a great, great way to start the day off. I want to give you some practical advice here. These are things that I have worked on, that I have used, of how to understand when to stop gossip and how to stop gossip, and some things of what to do and when you don't know what to say. And so I want us to talk about how God can tame our voice, tame our tongue, how to discern when to speak, and how not to let the words of others affect you. And so I want us to talk about first, how do we put a stop to gossip? How do we stop speaking ill of another person, or perhaps showing another person how to stop acting horribly towards another? First of all, we need to stop listening to it, right? I mean, if you are listening to gossip or someone is saying something bad about another person, then you are part of the problem immediately, right? So if someone comes to you and starts being negative and saying bad things about other people, just be polite and say, "You don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about this. I'm not the person you're going to talk to about this." Nothing shuts down a hurtful word faster than not having a listening ear. Number two, stop the cycle. If someone is going around you talking about someone else, encourage them to go directly to that person and have that conversation. Do not get triangled in that. Have them go right to that person, right? Hurtful words and gossip will never stop until the problems start being solved. Number three, start confronting those who spread gossip, who share a hurtful word. When people are spreading stories, hatred, and gossip, the best way to deal with them is to confront them in a loving, Christ-like manner. You know, there are a few ways to deal with those who are saying hurtful things, those who are gossiping, those who have nothing nice to say about anybody. But how do we know what to say? How do we know how to say things or the moment in which we should share them? And so your parents said that we are to think before we speak. Okay, here you go. Think. T-H-I-N-K, right? That's how you spell it. So T is that we, if you're thinking about what to say next, you got to think, okay, is this true? Is what I'm about ready to say, is this true? Okay, the second thing is it helpful? Is what I'm about ready to say, is this helpful to this conversation, right? Number three, it's the I, right? Is this inspiring? Is this going to inspire somebody to be healthier, to grow, to be more loving, to be more grace-giving? Are we inspiring them? Four, N, is it necessary? Is what I'm about ready to say, is this necessary for me to say? Or is it just something that I think I need to say? Is it necessary? And then K, is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And that's a pretty easy one to remember, to think before you speak, right? And finally, when someone is saying hurtful things about us or spreading rumors about us, or here's how we can deal with the hurting, and let's be honest, all of us have experienced this at some point in our lives where we have been hurt by another person's malicious words. First of all, I'm going to encourage you to let it go. The longer you hold onto the cruel things that people say about you, it will begin to develop bitterness and resentment. You have got to let those things go. Second, be gracious to those who say things you don't like. Be gracious to those who speak bad about you. Give people the benefit of the doubt. This is the most difficult thing to do, right? Give them the benefit of the doubt, because maybe what the person said wasn't the way that you took it, right? Maybe the person was having an off day. Maybe there's turmoil in a person's life and they don't know how to do anything about it. And it's a simple fact here I want you to remember. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. 9 out of 10 people who say a harmful or hurtful things are hurting so bad and so deeply inside that they need to hurt other people just to make them feel okay. I mean, let's face it, Jesus has put up with a lot of things from us. We can be gracious to one another. Number three, be silent. If something that is being said about you and you don't need to respond, don't. Sometimes remaining silent is the best thing that we can do. Four, keep your words sweet because you might have to eat them. If you have to respond to a person who is either upsetting you or speaking bad about you, be kind and keep your words gentle. The words that you use carelessly may come back to haunt you at some point. And number five, this is always a good one, ask God for help. Right, pray that God will give you a steeper, a stronger walk. Ask him to help you forgive the things that others have done to you. The simple truth is that we're never going to gain ground in our spiritual walk if we fire back every time someone says something or fire back every time someone does something against us. The best choice is to take the high road in all situations and do your best to rise above their low behavior. This morning, maybe you have said something to somebody that needs to be corrected. I mean, seek God's forgiveness and go to that person. Go to your Brent, right, and ask for forgiveness there. You know, maybe you've been hurt by somebody else. Maybe it's just time for you to seek God's help and move on. This morning, I want us to strive to live in such a way that our words, the things that come out of our mouth, bring glory and honor and love to the kingdom of Jesus here on earth. Friends, we have tongues of fire, right? And fire can be deadly, and it can be a bad thing if it spreads. But if it's contained and if it's controlled, it can be beautiful and it can be helpful. And it can be life-giving. Friends, may we use our fire-filled tongues, our voice, to shout out only one name, the name of Jesus, to share a healing word, and to bring joy and life and love into those who we come in contact with. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we need to be aware of how our words affect others and how our words affect you. God, when we gossip, when we badmouth other people, when we talk down to others, God, that is a direct reflection of who we are in you and how we have surrendered to you. So God, may the words that we speak, may the actions we take, may everything that we think, Lord God, be an honor to you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart, Lord God, our mouth speaks. So may we approach this life with the honor that you have blessed us with, the glory that you have blessed us with, the blessings that you have shown upon us, Lord God. And may we be a people who share words of hope and of love and of joy to this world. For we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.